of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Often I get asked, what is the overwhelming or overriding message of the Bible, of Holy Scripture? And I say that it is the story of God reaching out to God's people, and the story of God's people sometimes listening and sometimes responding. And in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, God sends the prophets to stir up the people of God, to listen to what God has to say about the way of God and the kingdom of God. And even some of the prophets, when called by God, run as far away as possible from the call of God in their life, God reaching out to them. We think of Jonah, who escapes for 3 days and even tries to hide from God in the belly of a whale, but that is no escape. And then in the New Testament, I like to think that after a long time of God sending prophets to earth and having some success and not some success, God says, don't make me come down there. God becomes incarnate in Jesus and indeed comes down there, comes down here amidst us into the messiness and the joy of human life. God comes to be with us. Jesus comes to be with us in person. And even then, we read that the people of God do a pretty good job at avoiding some of the things that Jesus teaches them about what the kingdom of God is like and what God is like. And so we find this morning that Jesus says to his disciples, don't stop little children, even infants, from coming to me. And Sunday school teachers all over Australia are rejoicing this morning at the choice of this reading because it slots perfectly into a Sunday school program. Jesus said, bring the children to me. And we like to sort of think of this as a really cute story of lovely little kids coming to Jesus. But in Jesus' time, children were not children as we understand them. They were really second-class citizens. There were no schools. There was no helicopter parenting. There was no mollycoddling children. They were adults, you know, really, by the time they were 12 or 13. There was not an idea of childhood as we would understand it. They were excluded from community, excluded from life, just as much as women were, the poor were, basically those without any agency or power. And so Jesus again said, to the least of these God comes, and God invites the least of these to God. And he uses the example of little children. And secondly, we hear this morning about a certain young ruler who, having obviously heard about Jesus talking about this eternal life, asks the reasonable question of Jesus, well, thank you very much, this eternal life, this sounds good to me, how do I inherit it? Jesus says, well, you know what to do, you need to keep the law. And he said, yes, I've done that, you know, all my life. And Jesus mentioned, they mentioned 5 commandments. I've done all these things, the young ruler says. I've done all these things. You ever notice it's only 5 commandments, not 10? Always wondered why that is. And one of the New Testament commentators who I read about this week said it was quite possible that Jesus used those 5 to speak directly to this certain young ruler. But there might have been something going on in his life where he needed to hear those 5 commandments and not the other 5. But we will leave that judgment of a certain young ruler up to God. Matthew's gospel, this same exchange takes place with a lawyer who wants to justify himself, who wants to build himself up in this same conversation with Jesus. And Jesus says, well, you've got to do all these things. And he says, yep, I've done all of those. I'm good, thanks. And he says, yep, but I know you. I know you well, and I know that you're very wealthy. I know that you're very rich. And it makes it really hard to be really wealthy and be really rich and enter the kingdom of God. And he's very distressed about this because he's a very wealthy person. Jesus uses that wonderful example, well quoted, about it being easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And whenever I take my nephews to the zoo, I always look at the camel and I always think how ridiculous that is, the idea of a camel going through the eye of a needle. But we learn good news. God comes to us so that we can have a relationship with God. Nothing is impossible for God. But there is lessons here for us. In the first exchange that Jesus has with the children, he says, ultimately, we must have faith like a child. Not be a child, like a child. And children, when they are young, they look at their parents, those set in authority over them, with nothing but trust and adoration. That 100% trust of a child looking into your eyes and trusting you completely with their life. Now, I don't have children. I have retrievers. And they do the same thing. When they look up at me, they are entirely reliant upon me for their water, their food, their walks, everything. And Jesus says this is the approach that we must take in our relationship with God. We must look up to God in complete trust, as a child looks up to a loving parent in complete trust. Nothing in between us and God. For the wealthy person, for the rich person, there is a lot that can get in the way of this relationship with God. Our possessions, our material life, all the things that we have, and the burden that that can create for us can get in the way of a relationship with God. And so I think about those times in my life, and you might like to think about them too, when all of those things that we sort of build up around ourselves to make us feel good, to give ourselves a sense of permanence, a sense of things that nothing can sort of hurt me now, that kind of thing, that sort of self-building up and self-protection. And when we find all those stripped away, we find ourselves in a very different relationship with God. And let me give you a personal example. Before I came to St. John's, 6 weeks before getting on the plane from the United States to move here, I was involved in a bad car accident. And I woke up on the road, and I don't know how I got out of the car, and I was covered in glass, and I had broken teeth, and I had broken ribs, and it all happened in the blink of an eye. You too might have had a similar experience. These things, when life breaks into us and breaks into all of those things that we might build up around ourselves to give us that idea that we're in control, that all is well, nothing can hurt us, all of that goes in an instant. And I don't know if you've been in an emergency ward where you get shipped in on the gurney, they're not comfortable, and they get out a pair of scissors, and because they don't want to pick you up, they cut open all your clothes. And I lost, I have to say, a really good pair of trousers on that day. I'm still dark about it. Snip, 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 up the front, and you are exposed to the medical care that you desperately need. There is nothing but you and God. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. All those things go. And we're faced with our human frailty and the trust that we must have with our Creator in those moments. We find ourselves anew when we strip away all of the stuff that we add to life to give ourselves a sense of importance or permanence or whatever. Now, all of us in this church are wealthy. We live in one of the wealthiest countries in the world. We meet in peace and security today. Most of us don't worry about where our next meal is coming from, or roof over our heads. And Jesus says you've got to make sure that none of that gets in the way of a relationship with God, a relationship with Him, and a relationship with each other. Because it can. And we know that. We, this morning, are reminded that we need to be like little children when it comes to God, and everything else is all stripped away, to look up to God with those eyes of 100% trust. That in God we know we are deeply loved. We are deeply loved through and through and through. And that is what gives us our ultimate meaning.